Welcome to a chat in the garden with Mrs. Blooms and Athletics and Sports. And we are celebrating a decade of chatting in the garden. So I'm on my way to Birmingham, back to Birmingham, actually, to be a part of Trademark That Thursday Summit. It's a three-day summit with action-packed presenters. But I will have a panel of members of the garden, Patricia Verrett and Ashley Anderson of Miles College. Verrett is from UNAB. And we are going to be talking about NIL and NCAA guardrails. And so, you know, as usual, before you have a presentation, you usually do have some type of prep work. And I tell you, I have known at least Ms. Verrett for some years now. And wealth of knowledge, wealth of knowledge. And Ms. Anderson has been at several institutions, but now she's at Miles College and establishing a program everywhere she's been as it relates to compliance. And so the audience for this event are black lawyers seeking to be in the sports realm, but also seeking additional credit. And so this is a different type of workshop that had to be vetted by the Alabama sports bar, lawyers bar, to make sure that what we are bringing to the table is educational in value. And so I'm excited about being in Birmingham and to be around, again, like-minded individuals who are trying to help our young people in the area of NIL, which is ever-changing for real. And so I dare not try to be on there with, you know, I can't do two things at one time. Again, I want to make sure that they get the right information, because sometimes, again, I've been in it 30 years, but something can change in 3 minutes, and I may not be up on it. And so, and, you know, more importantly, let's just say, when I get a stage, I share the stage. And so, yeah, it is definitely something that I love to do. So it's easier to pick whatever city I am to think about what women that are in the garden that need to be highlighted. And you really will be surprised what happens when you get on a stage. But let me just say this. If you want to hear this conversation, it is free and it's virtual. Okay? So let me just say this. If you want to watch it for free, you got to watch it live, because there will be a price to get the replay. So let's jump on board now. It's bit.ly/TTT Summit 2023. Again, bit.ly/TTT Summit 2023. Yeah, this is, actually I'm trying to pack as we talk. I'll make sure I don't forget anything. I fly out in a couple of hours. So back to our commercials. Alva Amaker, Educational Risk Management Consultant, owns Vigilant Safety Training Center, Policy to Practice. The center has the following: first responder training, sport and event staff certification, workspace safety and personal training and operations. For more information, and I really stress that you go to this website and take this assessment. She has one for high schools and one for college, so you can see where your deficiencies and where you need to concentrate on. And I really would hate for you to have to learn this the hard way. So let's find out where our deficiencies are before we have a catastrophe. So go to Vigilance, VigilanceSTC.com. Again, VigilanceSTC.com. And just to give a word, I did post inside the group that Ms. Amaker has been recognized by the National Federation High Schools. She was brought in to talk about crowd control and parent and spectator involvement. So, again, she is the real deal. And I'm really honored that she is in our group. So you really need to take advantage of what she has. Because I'm here to tell you that most of these women are on the come up. So it's best to get on board with them before they blow up. Okay? All right. Surviving Life, the Professional Athlete's Playbook to Avoid the Curse by Dr. Tawana Smith. This is a book that I have pitched way before we've gotten to the space of our athletes receiving money before they are professional athletes. And you're wondering what the curse is. The curse is getting money and then losing money and then trusting people with your money. And, you know, what I've learned from this entrepreneur world, yes, it's not that we want the athletes to go and take care of their own, but we want them to know what it's supposed to look like when somebody does take care of it. And that's how you manage the people that manage you. And so this book actually enlightened me on several things as it relates to what you should be looking for when selecting a team to help you with your business side. And and if you're like me, you're going to have students come to you and ask you for your advice and may not even know if you got the know-how about that. So get this book and put it on your shelf. And every time a young person asks me about such things, I always direct them to this book. And the book can be purchased in three different formats on Amazon, paperback, ebook, and audio. And audiobook. CWOW Foundation offers media training for student athletes with name, image, and likeness on deck. This is so important. Kami Waller, the founder and extensive background in CWOW Sports Entertainment because she covers all professional sports in DMV. She just reported about an injury from the Mystics. Cloud, and she just reported it today or last night. So she's up on it. But I think by her being involved on this side, she sees some deficiencies as it relates to our young people not being prepared for lights, camera, action. So they won't have any sorry Miss Jackson moment. To get more information about how you can utilize her resources, go to info@cwallfoundation.org. info@cwallfoundation.org. The sixth issue is now live on Amazon, featuring the MOA president, Renee Miles Payne. Let me back that up. Dr. Renee Miles Payne. Get your copy today. And I have to say, I've been really pleased about the feedback I'm receiving. Many people have just, the people who bought the pre-sales from me just began to receive theirs. And this is what they said. They said that the magazine articles get better and better every issue. Another person just sent me a message to say, I just love the stories in there. So, twofold. You need to go get your copy today. And if you got Prime, I won't be hurt. Go ahead and go purchase it from Amazon. And I did receive an order this morning, matter of fact, or was it last night? So I'm going to drop it in the mail today. And I do have bulk orders. I had a call for a bulk order this morning. So I do have 15 copies available at $180 total, plus shipping. And I will ship this directly to you from Amazon to you. And so we won't have a middleman situation. But I really, really want this in the hands of our young people, especially our young women, so they can see the careers that are available for them and some of the intellectual property that can be cultivated from your experiences. And so, and mind you, I say that because we want them to think about themselves as brands, especially when we think about NIL. I'm really not on the bandwagon or waiting for a brand to fall into your lap. I really believe, such as the women here, that you can take the experiences that you have and put it in a package so that others can partake in it, which we're kind of going to talk about a little bit today. And so for those who don't have the opportunity to write a book yet, okay, writing an article is a really a good step. And here's the beautiful part. You end up having a product. Yeah, so then when you do go speak, you have a way of capitalizing off of your specialized knowledge. And then people get a chance to take you home with them. And then when somebody that they run into, family member, niece and nephew, a coach or whatever, they say, have you heard of? And bam. That's what expert marketing is. So if you have expertise and you want me to help you cultivate that into an article, email me, MoniqueAJSmith@SaesarEmpowerment.info. I actually have closed out the 7th issue, yes. We've already had people already signed up. I'm on the 2nd draft of many, and I got a few folks who need to give me their 1st draft. So that will come out in March. If you have a compelling reason, if you can sign up between now and the 15th, I'll slide you in. I got 13 people. The max I've ever had was 16, and I can't go over that because I'm already, pulling my hair out. But I'm just trying to tell you, this movement of being in a magazine is for real. Yeah, the part I really love about it is just about bringing these women to the forefront. And I do that inside our private Facebook group with our Facebook Live. And we just had a great time last week. And hats off to Sonya Hurt, who hung in there until I got off the train, got home, and we were on Facebook Live at 9 p.m. But that was really one of the most interactive one I've had. So guess what? I'm changing the time for Meet the Contributors from 6 to 9, and we're going to bring that back on the 14th, on a Thursday night, with Tanya Walker. But in the meantime, you can go and search within the group and watch all the Facebook Lives, and you meet all the contributors and learn what inspired them to write the piece that they did. So I just love what I do. So now I'm going to meet another young lady that loves what she does, and I'm going to try to stay as professional as possible, but this is one of my Kiki Ha 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 friends, and we have a great time together. Yeah, we have a lot of things in common. So I like to bring to the stage Natalie Graves of Natalie Graves Athletic Consulting.
Hello, hello, hello. Hey, Monique.
Hey, Natalie. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm gonna try to be professional also.
Yes, even though you've, look, I thought I was all around the world. I mean, my God. I look, one time you at the football game. Yes, I know. You at the U.S. Open. Are you sitting in one spot today?
Yeah, I'm sitting in one spot today, but I will be getting out of here in about 2 weeks to go to New Orleans.
Oh, wow. Yes, yes. I'm going to ask you about that later. Okay. So it might be me. Let me turn my volume up a little bit.
Okay.
Because you sound like you're in a hole a little bit, but I'm going to ask Jama, tell me, is it just my ears or
okay.
Is that the case?
Let me
right.
see.
So,
okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. I just don't want you to sound
okay.
like you're in a hole. You know what it's like?
Okay.
Because my mind is about sports. You in a tunnel about to come out. Did you see that? Okay, all right, sorry. I'm gonna go to the script in a minute. But did you see that volleyball game for Nebraska?
Volleyball? No, I didn't. You know what? I have been knee deep in tennis, as you know.
Yes. Okay. Well, you got to go check this out. It was last week.
Okay.
Nebraska
okay.
had it outside. It was 92,000 people at a freaking volleyball game outside on a football stadium.
I saw that on social media, and I was like, what is really going on? I mean, like, so the top-tier seats, could you even see? I mean, I think that's amazing that
girl,
that's
I just,
interest ooh,
I almost cried.
There. That I saw that briefly, and I was amazed by that.
Girl, it is amazing. I mean, just the fact, just the fact that folks, number one, it was outside, and everybody
right.
was out there supporting women's sports. You can't tell
right.
me.
Right.
Okay.
The draw is there. The draw is there. The interest is
and
there.
And actually, volleyball is my favorite sport.
Is it really?
To watch. I can't play
okay.
anything, but I just love watching it, okay? So, everybody wants to know, who is this lady I'm all excited with? Give everybody opportunity to know about your journey from college to your current position.
For sure, for sure. So I'm based out of Chicago. I am a licensed clinical social worker, a sports social worker. I'm certified in addictions. And I am focused on athletes' mental health and performance. So my private practice has been in existence. Naturally Graves Athletic Counseling has been in existence for about 10 years now, which I can't even believe. And I specialize in really helping athletes deal with the mental and with their performance. And my journey may be different than some of your other guests. I was not a athlete previously, but I was always someone who just enjoyed watching sports, where I was just a fanatical fan, quite honestly. And that was kind of the thing that our family did together. We watched the Chicago Bears. We watched the Bulls. And, you know, credit to my father, he sat down and taught me the game of sports, and that's what we did. We watched together, and so that was kind of my first love and my introduction to sports was just watching it. And when I started my college journey, I brought that interest of sports with me. And as I was progressing in my education, I started to really fall in love with sociology. And I began to kind of ask questions about athletes. And my first question was, there was a situation many, many years ago with a Chicago Bears player. And he had run into some legal problems. And, you know, at that time, my question was, how is he getting into legal trouble when he has all of his money, all of this money? So that was like my very first question. And what began to happen as I progressed in my undergrad program and then my graduate program And I like to say I'm born, raised, and educated in Chicago. I am a Chicago in the city girl. And I went to Chicago State for my undergrad, and then I went to the University of Chicago. And during that time, my fans' perspective began to evolve. Instead of asking why were athletes having issues or problems, I began to ask, where are the supports for athletes? And when I began to ask that question, I really didn't see any supports that were providing the needed support for athletes. I didn't see anyone talking about mental health for athletes in sports. I wasn't seeing anyone talk about how performance and mental wellness is connected. And so I kind of identified that this was something, this was a lane and this was a space that I needed to occupy. I needed to enter in. And I really didn't have a path. There was no one I really saw that was doing this, that looked like me, that was a woman, that was Black. And I just went about the business of slowly carving a lane for myself. It started with just a blog post, having a blog, and I would just write from my perspective as a social worker about sports. And from that point, I would start doing some speaking, and then I start getting clients, and I just started building and building. And now, 10 years later, I work with professional athletes, D1, D2, D3, college athletes, high school athletes, youth. I have Olympic hopefuls on my caseload, and I also work with retired athletes. And in addition to that, I go into programs, universities, and work with athletic departments. You know, I've worked with the NFL, the NBA, hockey is on my caseload. And so it's really about, for me, providing a need that is really not discussed a lot. And that's the mental wellness of athletes and how do they perform better.
Wow. So for those out there listening, she didn't have a mapped out plan, but she followed her instinct and what gave her endorphins. And so I would say, from a career path perspective, that's what you should be doing. You should be, and it's interesting that you enjoy sociology because that is your introduction to sport.
And it's
funny because this is my favorite theory when it comes to sports, and it's not coming to my mind. But, oh, yeah, interactionist theory, how you begin to experience sports with your father, and to you, it really is a family activity and how you learn the game and you enjoy it. And I'm pretty sure, even though you're not really thinking it unconsciously, you know, it brings togetherness. And that's very similar. I said it more than one time that Thorpe on The White Shadow is a relative. And I began to watch the TV show in middle school because I wanted to see my relative. But I began to see the dynamics of a team and how they fill the void of those who may not have all of the parts of a traditional family. And then I just start watching my neighbors. And it was interesting because I had two brothers across the street, well, across the road, because I'm from the country. And it was just, I just watched them. And they were in middle school. One boy was the same age as I. And his brother was a year older than he and I. And I think it was a I think it was a football game. His father wouldn't let him play football anymore. He picked one, so it ended up being basketball. And I just watched how they both dissected the game. You know, like, mm-hmm. I could understand why they were still mad that the game happened. And I'm like, to me, how are you going to see clearly what you made a mistake on if you're still mad? It's like you're cloudy, you know? Mm-hmm. I felt like mm-hmm. if you talked about mm-hmm. it, which is what I was trying to do in the car, and I got the look like, just shut up. I was like, yeah, but did you see so-and-so? And I'm like, okay, will you leave us alone? I'm like, your feet were too far apart when that happened, you know? And yeah, so I was always analysis paralysis of the game, trying to tell the story, you know?
Right, right.
So we got a couple of questions coming in for
okay.
you, okay?
Okay.
Dr. Jaquita Jackson, she wants to know, how did you transition from drug and alcohol to the world of sports?
Well, actually, I was already working within my practice and building my – actually, I was building my practice. So, and this is important. I talk about this to other therapists who want to do what I do. I began to think about what do I think athletes will need from me? And what areas should I have an expertise? And so at that time, I had my clinical license, and I was building my practice. And I'm always thinking about, what are the needs of my clients? What are the needs of my patients? What are the needs of the athletes? And I thought about addictions. I thought about with substances. I thought about with gambling. And I did not get that training in on the grad level in my master's program for social work. And so I thought it would be a good idea if I had that specialization. So it actually, my desire to be everything that I need to be for my athlete clients, my athletic clients, drove me to get certified in alcohol and drug, and that's what I did. And then when I did that program, I didn't get the compulsive gambling piece, and I felt that I needed that. So two summers ago, I completed 30 hours of compulsive gambling. So it's a constant thing for me to always continue my knowledge and education, so that when someone sits in front of me, or if I am working with a department or a team, they are getting the very best expertise from me. And so that's what drove me to do that.
That's deep. Now I got a strange question.
Uh-huh.
Okay. it's just me. So, is winning addictive?
Oh, that's a great question. So, there's a thought of, for elite athletes, do you love winning or do you hate losing? What's the driving force? And so for every athlete, it's different, but I will say that if it's an addiction, it's not healthy. But if you have a drive, if you have a purpose to win, that's the place you need to be. So if it's a situation where you're addicted to winning, what happens when you don't win? What does that look like for you, right? But if your purpose is to constantly perform at your best, to do your best, you're in a better, healthy place. So if you're addicted to winning, I would probably say to have some balance with that.
That's some good info. Because that was just, that when you were talking about that, I was like, that to some people it's like a high, and they keep seeking that high. But then again, if we in this business of winning, how can that be bad? But you just said the key word was balance, and that's about anything, you know?
Yeah.
That's about anything.
Yeah. For
so,
sure.
I tell you, we need to take a short break here in the chat in the garden.
Okay.
But I will say we hear some crackling in the line. So
okay.
You and I both are going to hang up when the commercial's on, after we mute it, and then we're going to call back to see if we can correct that. And we're going to talk
okay.
about mental health performance expert for athletes and coaches with Natalie Graves, Athletic Consultant.
Hey everyone, this is Yusuf Khan, CEO and founder of First & Pen, and I'm excited to invite you to the Get in the Game Sports Business Conference, where you'll have the opportunity to meet and hear from some of the best and brightest in the sports business industry and interact with some of the premier brands in sports. It all goes down October 6th through the 8th at the Sheraton Inner Harbor in Baltimore, Maryland. For event information, visit getinthegameconference.net or Get in the Game on Instagram and Twitter. So register now at getinthegameconference.net, and we'll see you there.
Hi, my name is Candy Waller, and I'm the president of the Seawall Foundation, a 501c3 nonprofit organization established to enhance the transferable skills of student athletes. We are currently launching a media training course to prepare student athletes to effectively engage with the press and the public. To learn more, email us at info@seawallfoundation.org. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
This is Alva Champion Amaker of ANA Athletic Consulting and Vigilant Safety Training Center. My investment to become a member of the Advanced Academy is one of the best decisions I've made in my business and personal growth journey. Working with Monique has provided the network to connect and collaborate with some phenomenal women and leaders, exposed me to literature for growth and opportunities to share my skill sets and knowledge. Her candid approach in the one-on-one sessions make me more accountable for taking the necessary steps toward my advanced success. Thank you, Monique, and I appreciate you.
Why do colleges support student athletes pursuing every profession except professional sports? Why are they treated as just students when they're athletes, knowing that they need help surviving the lights? I'm Tawana Smith, and as a former Division I and pro athlete and now best-selling author, I've created a transition system specifically for student athletes called Surviving the Lights. For more information, visit www.survivingthelights.com to learn how we can change the game together.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Monique A.J. Smith, on a chat in the garden with Snickers and Blooms in athletics and sports. Well, I got a couple of more questions, and I'm going to say this. I'm pretty sure that these things that we're going to cover are in your book. Would you like to just share about the name of your book? Because we're going to answer these questions. But I know that some follow-ups can be found in your book.
Yes, for sure. So my book is called The Athlete's Prep Book. And the Athlete's Prep Book is a very unique tool for athletes. It's a workbook. It's a journal. And it focuses on wellness techniques as well as performance techniques. And it is created to use an athlete to use it during their season. So there are goal settings, there's affirmations, there's places to journal. And it's really, I'm so proud of this product. It's been really well received. Teams have been buying it. Individuals have been buying it. And it's really, Monique, it's really a lot of the work that I do individually in my sessions, I put it in the Athlete's Prep book. So it's really, really, and I'm not just saying this, this is a really good tool for athletes to help them perform better during their season.
Okay. How do people get the book, Natalie?
So they can get the book from prepbook.info, prepbook.info, and I will send it directly out to you.
Outstanding. And then do you have opportunity for bulk orders?
I do. You can totally buy it in bulk, or you can buy just one for your athlete that you love, or a couple of them. So you definitely, if you want to connect with me directly, feel free to email me at info@nataliegraves.com. I'm also on LinkedIn, Natalie Graves, and all the socials as well. You'll be able to find me.
Okay. So here are the two questions that I have.
Okay.
Dennis Floyd Jones has two questions. He said the use of cannabis in the treatment of mental health and mental health-related performance challenges. Talk about that.
He wants to talk about cannabis. So is he asking about enhancement of performance, or is he?
Related. He said, and mental health related performance challenges.
Okay,
is that a form of treatment? Mm-hmm.
So, what we know is that cannabis can, for some people, assist with anxiety. It mm-hmm. can aid in that. But what we also know, for other people, it actually can make their symptoms worse.
Mm.
So you have to really, and so you have to really be careful to understand, how it impacts you. When I'm working with athletes, and we're talking about, if they smoke or not, I talk about it in very practical terms. Anything that you're putting in your lungs, whether it's nicotine, whether it's marijuana, that is going to impact your cardio.
Mm-hmm.
And so do you, if we're talking about performing at our best, is that something you want to be doing?
Mm-hmm.
And, our views on cannabis over the last, 5 to 7 years have really changed, right? And that's appropriate. But anything that you're putting in your lungs is going to have an impact on your performance. And so I like to educate around that. I'm not a clinician to say, you need to stop doing that, but you do need to be responsible. So I look at cannabis smoking just like I look at drinking. There's an appropriate age, and it should be done responsibly. If we were talking about alcohol use, I would be saying the same thing. Would you get on the court and you were buzzed?
Mm-hmm.
That just doesn't make sense. That's going to hinder your performance. The same thing with cannabis. So there are some benefits. There is, obviously, we know there's medical marijuana, but that's not generally what we're talking about. We're talking about, you getting it from wherever you're getting it from, and you don't know what's exactly in it. So the
mm-hmm.
responsible way, if you're going to take part in smoking, is if you're going to do it, don't do it in season.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are going to do it, realize it is going to hinder the ultimate performance, that it is going to hinder your best performance. So you have to understand that. And we've got to be honest and real about it.
Right. Well, I don't know if this is the case. I just remember that people, this is the obvious one. Many people have been smoked around me. I had no idea. But I just remember them, like, crying a lot. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, hey, how you doing? I love you. And then they start crying. Like, how is that supposed to be an uplift? I just don't know. But that's just don't know anything.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you do have to you have to use wisdom in anything you put in your body, and how is that going to respond? That includes supplements, that includes you know, certain type of enhancers. I mean, you have to really think about how is this helping me with my ultimate goal, and if we go deeper, why am I doing that? Am I trying to cope with something? Do I feel like I can't be social without some type of aid, and so I need to do that? Am I trying to mute something, stuff something, because I don't want to feel something? So what are some of the reasons why we're partaking in some of the things we're partaking? And if we find that we're using cannabis as a coping mechanism, I would submit that's probably an unhealthy way to manage and cope. And that's the time to find some support that may be better suited for you to deal with what you're dealing with.
Now that I get. His second question, he said, is it just me or more high-performer athletes dropping out of sports because of burnout?
So we are fine. The research says that many athletes by the age of 15 are dropping out of their sport. And there are a lot of reasons for that. It's no longer a joy. It feels like a job. And the very big one is the pressure that they put on themselves, that their parents put on them, that they feel from their teammates, that they feel from their coaches and the fans, the pressure of it. And so what we find is when an athlete is in an environment that is farther and further away of having fun, it is an environment that they don't want to be in as much. And so we are finding, I hear it often in my sessions, you know, it feels like a job to me. You know, I'm just not enjoying it like I used to. And so, you know, there's a lot of reasons for that. And sometimes the biggest reason are the parents putting the pressure on the athlete. And so those expectations, sometimes they're unrealistic and they're just too heavy for the athlete to bear. And sometimes they choose to just walk away from the sport that they love. So that is happening. And I think it's important, as I call it, sport stakeholders, you know, that would include parents, coaches, administration staff, people like you and I, Monique, to make sure that in these spaces, the environment is healthy for the athlete. Because if it isn't, we're putting these young people at risk.
This is so true. I see it all the time. And, I mean, I taught psychosociology of sport, and I would ask the questions of the athlete. And I had one to say that it's been a job for him since he's been a young kid. And so he just recently became a father. And I said, his project for the end of the year was to interview at least 10 parent football players. And to see if they would want to assist their, and we couldn't just say guys anymore, if you want to assist your young person to play football. So when I said that, oh, my daughter can never play football, I said, well, let's just not deal with the sport per se. Let's just say, based on what you have been feeling, or do you, are the values of what you gain from this sport enough for you to want to support your person to do the same? And that was an interesting conversation.
I bet that was interesting.
And then for me to be able to watch dynamics, because the interesting thing is that him and his father are very, very close. I remember him getting injured and his father making some sound, and the child turned right around and knew that was his daddy calling him, you know? So there's not any resentment with that. It's just that it's been a job. And I think I would want my child to enjoy life a little bit more. You know, you have resentment, but he didn't have any. That was visual.
You know, and it's again, it goes back to the balance, Monique. It's really about, I mean, you can want to be in a sport, and you can want to do extremely well and reach the highest heights as possible, but you do have to have a certain balance where, you know, you do have other interests, and you do have other friends, and you do have, you know, other things that you can do. And you can't do that all the time, you know, because especially if you're a specialist in your sport, but there needs to be times that we're not talking about your sport. There needs to be times that we're doing an activity and it has nothing to do with training. And that is possible to do and still be at your very best. You know, it's all about the perspective and the balance. And how much do we want to prioritize one's mental health along with their physical health?
Okay, one last question from the audience. John Chandler would like to know, have you had any opportunity to unpack the pressure athletes face from social media scrutiny?
Absolutely. So social media, I am not anti-social media. You know, there's a lot of positives around it, and it's a great way to interact. However, talking about the pressures, there's a lot that comes along with that. The comparison, looking at competition or looking at how someone else is training or where they are. And so a lot of times we have a conversation, the athletes that I work with, when they're training or when they're in season, how are they utilizing social media? So some of my athletes, they turn it off altogether for the season. Some athletes, they minimize their use. And then some athletes, you know, it doesn't bother them. So it's really important to understand, because everybody is different, how does it impact the individual? And if you find yourself constantly feeling less than, negative, you're looking at other people as if they're better than you, I would encourage you to examine how you're interacting on social media and may need to pull back or turn it off for a bit. I also encourage athletes at least 15 to 60 minutes a day to unplug. So to totally turn off the phone for a period of time once a day, just to get a little bit of perspective outside of social media. It's really important to recenter yourself, to kind of get into a mind space and let your mind kind of wander in a way without the distraction of social media. So where social media has a lot of positives, there with everything, it's about how much you intake, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's no doubt that if you're using it as a comparison tool, that's probably not the right way to be engaging in social media, especially as an athlete.
Well, I think this was some great discussion. Anyone is on the line and has a question, you can hit 1 to ask your question live. While we're waiting to see about that, everybody knows I love books. Beyond your book, is there any book that has helped you be enlightened in this area in case we have some social workers who want to come into the sports side? What book enlightened you to say, yeah, this is where I want to be?
You know, that's the thing about this space. Like, there's not a ton of literature out here. And I think that was why it was really important for me to create the Athletes Prep book, to give athletes a tool. There are a few out there, you know, Lauren Turner's book on mindfulness. I have that book. That's a really good one. For athletes and for therapists who are interested in working with athletes, that's a good one. Greg Harding, who is formerly from the University of Michigan, who is a mentor of mine, he mm-hmm. just came out with a book about 2-3 weeks ago, if that long. I'm going to be getting his book. Anything that he does, I'll be gobbling up. But, you know, it's not a ton of stuff out there, you know, which is a growth area in the field. You know, it's still a very new concept to talk about mental wellness and mental health for athletes. And I go a step farther because I connect performance to mental wellness. So those would be the books that I would suggest. But we've got to do better as far as having more resources and literature in this space. And then obviously my book, Athlete's Prep Book.
Yeah, especially if you want people to get into the field. That's where I
right.
want. Yeah. Coakley is a textbook, sociology of sport. Because honestly, I'm excited about the fact that I got a plenty of people excited about the fact of looking at their social worlds and how it affects. I had another athlete to look at the songs that the players listen to for the hype song, like in their head, you know, with the headphones.
Yeah.
And he discovered, it went all the way back to high school, how one kid didn't want any music and how the total silence was his motivational factor. But it just made him look at things differently.
Right. And I actually talk about that in my book. I call it the pregame. What do you do to get mentally ready? Is that listening
mm-hmm.
to music? Is that just listening to silence? You know, and that routine is very important.
Yeah, you'd be surprised. You'd really be surprised. And I was surprised. And the fact that they even came up, just came up from trying to let them see things that you do every day can be something that you can research to better you and your teammates. And so
I
just really implore you all that the sociology of sport is very interesting, especially coming from how I started, by watching TV shows. And
mm-hmm.
I do want to, so let's talk about your favorite TV show as it relates to sports that relates to what you do and how do you use it in your practice to get people to see this is what you're doing.
Exactly. You know, one of my favorite movies is Love and Basketball. That is one of my favorite movies, and how, you know, the athletes are having their individual struggles while they're in a relationship. And as it relates to relationships, you know, we talk about in session, like, you know, who are you dating? Is it an athlete? Is it a non-athlete? You know, if it's a non-athlete, do they understand the life of a student athlete or a professional athlete or an Olympic athlete? Because if you all started dating, let's just say, when you were out of season, it was the off season. When you're in season, your ability to be present looks very different. And so can they relate to that? Can they support you? Do they understand that? And, you know, it has been a conflict in relationships when the partner did not understand, right? And so we have to do sessions around that. I even, with my professional athletes, I've had to do some couples work for various reasons, because the lifestyle of an athlete or a student athlete, it's very challenging. And so with dating and maintaining a marriage and family life, once again, that's the word I'm saying, is the balance of that. You know, how do you do that? So that's one that I really reference as it relates to dating. You know, but with athletes today, it's really about me staying present in the moment. And so wherever they are or whatever they're dealing with, I meet them right there where they are. And then we go from there. And that's really, really my practice and my approach when I'm working with an individual athlete, whether I'm working with a team or even an athletic department. What are the needs? And then we build out from there.
I like that. What is the need? And we build out from there. That's my quote for you. What is the need, and how do we build from there?
Exactly. Because it's not about what I think, it's about what they know.
Oh. We're going to stop with the quotes now. We got to go.
All right.
But it's been a pleasure to have you, dear. I appreciate you. And I look forward to hooking up later on down the line the next 12 months.
Absolutely. And congratulations on 10 years, Monique.
Oh, thank you so much. And same to you, my dear. And as always, thank you, Jamila Harrison, for keeping me straight, keeping me on my time. And join us next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for updates on show guests and podcasts. Follow us on Facebook, A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith. And have a significant rest of the day.